First Chronicles, chapter number 27, chapter 27. As we read this, you might wonder, why are we reading this? But I hope that it will become clear tonight. And I'm going to start in verse number 25. And I hope I can read these names. It says, over the king's treasures was Azmaveth, the son of Adiel, and over the storehouses in the fields, in the cities, in the villages, in the castles, was Johanathan, the son of Uzziah. And over them did the work of the field for tillage of the ground was Esri, the son of Chelub. And over the vineyards was Shimei, the Ramathite. Over the increase of the vineyards for the wine cellars was Zabdi, the Shifmite. And over the olive trees and the sycamore trees that were in the low plains was Baal-Hinan, the Gederite. And over the cellars of oil was Joash. And over the herds that fed in Sharon was Shaddai, the Sharonite. And over the herds that were in the valleys was Shaphat, the son of Adlai. And over the camels also was Obil, the Ishmaelite. And over the asses was Jediah, the Maronathite. You all are having fun listening to me read these, aren't you? And over the flocks was Jazaz, the Agarite. And all these were the rulers of the substance, which was King David's. I want us to stop and think about tonight the significance that you are to God. I want you to think about the significance that you are to God. We know tonight that if Satan can keep us and can keep a person from accepting the truth about salvation, then God's grace will not be effective in their life. So one of the things that Satan does is use, and what your question has, false religion to make us believe that we can do something to gain the favor of God. And so man comes along and he believes if he does certain things, God will look at him favorably. Whether it's doing an action or sacrificing a certain thing, whatever it might be, he believes that might do it. And thus, he does not depend upon the grace of God for salvation. You tonight, you're a sinner. Do you know that? Do you know what a sinner is? Somebody who sins, somebody who does something wrong. Okay? You're a sinner. Is he worse than you? Are you worse than him? No, we're sinners. Am I better than you? No. Am I worse than you? No, we're sinners. Every one of us, we have sinned against God. And you just told the biggest lie that ever walked the face. Because we sin. We sin. And because of our sin, we are separated from God. And that separation can only be taken care of by God. That separation can only be brought about to where we be brought together by God Himself. We can't do it. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And our salvation from our sin, the penalty of that sin, only comes by the grace of God. That is something He gives us we don't deserve. And He says by faith. So it's not something we do, it's who we believe. It's not something we do to gain God's favor, it's whether we believe God or not that makes the difference. And so if He can keep that truth from us, then God's grace will not come to us. Now tonight, if you're saved, if you know Christ as your Savior, after you've gotten saved, if He can keep truth from you, then He has a strong hold against us. He has something that keeps us from winning in this life if we do not learn the truth. What's the Bible says? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You see, if truth does not get into our soul, and we don't learn what God has for us, the devil can destroy us. My heart has been so burdened, and a lot of these folks back here, for you guys in this group. Because there's something that's seeking to destroy your lives. Some of them experienced near disaster in their lives. If you could hear some of the stories of these people, they would tell you, listen now before you ruin some things. And so we need truth. But if we don't hear the truth, if we don't allow it to come into our soul, if somehow the devil can keep it from us through whatever means he can do, then he brings about defeat in our lives. Do you guys know tonight, do you realize tonight, the only way the devil can really defeat you is through a lie? Seriously. That's the only way he can defeat you tonight is through a lie. There's no other way. And so whatever he can do to mess up the truth that needs to come to you, he's going to do. Now, after we're saved, one of the ugly things that takes place is a lie that the devil whispers into the ear of so many people. And I see it so commonly amongst young people. And that is the belief that they're not worthy. And that God won't use us or can't. By the way, nobody's worthy, but God believes we are significant. God wants to use us. God wants to do something in our lives. Now, sometimes we look and we think, well, there's some people, they're more important than we are. No, they're not. We look at certain ones. Some folks would look at a church, they say, well, the pastor's position is more important than any others. No, it's not. Is it vital? Yes. Is it more important? No. If there's nobody here, what importance is it of mine? Seriously. Everyone is very important. And we need to understand that. It's important for us to realize our importance. Unworthy, yes. Useless, no. God wants to use us. God has a place for every one of us. God has something significant for you. God has something significant for you. He does for every one of you. God has it for all of us in this room. God has that spot for us. You say, where do you get that from? Well, throughout the Word of God, and as I read this text, I read about a whole lot of people that were appointed to some very, what we might call unusual jobs, but important jobs. If we're going to the battlefield, what do we need? What do we need? We've had some of our young men go to Afghanistan, to Iraq. What is it that they need? They need heart. Is that what you said? Definitely. Very good answer. What do they need? They need leadership, so there's got to be somebody over them telling them what to do. Muscles. Okay, so they need training. There needs to be somebody that has trained them. They need weapons, so there's got to be people who's made those weapons and the ammunition for them. Armor. Okay. Do you realize when I started Bible school, I worked for a company called G&W Engineering. I worked there for 1 month. You know what they made? There was about 40 men who worked in this dirtiest place I'd ever worked in my life. They made tracks for tanks. That's all we did. Made tracks. You know the little things that go around and around? Yeah. That's what they made. There was 40 guys there that were making these tracks. So that somebody could sit in a tank somewhere on a battlefield and go to battle. What I'm trying to say is, not just the guy who's pointing the gun is important, but there's a whole lot of support troops. They are very important. If you're jumping out of an airplane with a parachute, you like to know that the guy who packed that knows what he's doing, and you would think that he's probably pretty important. Amen? He's very important. You don't want to be going down and that thing's not unfurling and you read the little tag, packed by John Doe, while you're falling down through the sky. You hope there's another one. But we find there is a need for support troops. So we look here and we see this list of people. I want you to notice one guy in particular. Verse number 28, and the last part of that verse says, and over the sellers of oil was Joash. Over the sellers of oil was Joash. Here's a man. We would look at it and we'd say, well, what is important about that? Why did God record all these? I believe because these people were important. Their mutual dependence upon each other meant their survival or their demise. Each one doing their job efficiently was critical. If one man on one shift made one bad track, and that tank was in battle, and that track came apart, or that track, that piece broke, the rest of it would break, that tank is inoperable. Because one guy did not fulfill his task. Here's a guy, what did he have to do? He had the job of taking care of the sellers of oil. Very important job, as we'll notice in just a moment. As we look here at this man who's the keeper of the oil sellers, I want us to think about it. Who put him there? It was King David. Think about it for a moment tonight. If you and I are in the kingdom of God, we have been born again, our king is Jesus. He has a responsibility for us. It may not be Joab, the general of the army. It might be Joash who takes care of the sellers of oil. You see, without oil in those days, you could not have light. They used little oil lamps. They would burn the oil to have light. But oil was also used, could be used for cooking, and it could also be used for medicine. So this man's job was very critical. For if the oil spoiled, then they did not have, if the pot cracked and it all ran over, whatever might happen, he had the job to make sure that this stuff was taken care of. And so here we find that God had a place. John the Baptist was called a voice in the wilderness. Your voice may not be as strong or as eloquent as his, but God has made all of us to do something. God has given us a place. And your place is just as important as mine. You are significant to God. Tonight, while we sit in here, there's about 35, 40 people who are operating our master club. Among those folks are about 70 kids that are out there, if it's like most nights. And these kids, some of them wound up pretty good, more than some of you tonight. And they've come in here, and these folks are, trying to minister them. And they're working together. Some of them take some time to play games with them. By the way, game time is important. It teaches us how to get along with each other, how to take care of some of the principles of living one with another. Some of them be working with them to help them memorize Scripture. And different folks doing different things. And I know these people, and not a one of them is alike. I can't play a piano. I thought it would be fun to learn how, but I've not been willing to sit down and take that time to learn that. But Mindy has. We have two or three in the church, young ones that are learning how to play the piano. I think that's great. God gives everybody different abilities, but if you're not doing your job, then something isn't getting done. God has given us a responsibility. God has a place for you. Something I really appreciate at camp. It's probably about 4 or 5 years ago, one of the preachers got up and he said it directly, really, to us preachers and some of the adults there. He said, "Do not look at the kids and the young folks in your church as the church of tomorrow. They are the church today." Yeah, you may still be here and we'll be gone, but you're as important today as I am or anybody else. And we have this place of significance with God. Listen, if you weren't significant to God, He wouldn't have died on the cross for you. He wouldn't have done what He's done for you. God wants you to understand that. And the king had a place for this particular man. The sellers of oil was who? Joash. Something I have learned in life is satisfaction comes from doing a job well that has been given to me. Especially if it's from the king. Tom asked the question, how do you know if you're called to a certain ministry? By the way, one of the best answers I've ever heard, Tom, is, "I know that I know that I know." There's such an assurance inside, you know, there's just no doubt. And that has been made plain to me for many years. And satisfaction comes really by doing a job well. This man, Joash, could have been a Philistine and had the king's wrath upon him. But no, he is in the king's business, and it makes our job very fulfilling to accomplish it. Well, there's nothing like having that satisfaction of a job done. And another thing I have learned is that when God has given us a job, as this man was given, there's a very critical key to it, and that is called faithfulness. That means He expects us to carry it out completely. And He doesn't reward us for time spent, but for completion. Years ago, I was working at a place called Vickers. They built hydraulic pumps. And it used to be in Omaha. And there was a man there that worked two full-time jobs. Actually, two of them. I couldn't believe it. And we were second shift, and both these men worked a day job. They'd work 8 hours there, and they'd come here and work about 8 hours. The one man... He worked at a place, I thought, my goodness. They worked in connection with the packing houses. And his company would buy all the hides after the hide was stripped off of the cow. And they would bring them into this place, and they would do some treatments to them. And then they would salt them. And they would stack them. And they'd put them on big pallets, and then they'd ship them off to, I assume, leather factories. But that was his job. And he told me, "I don't get paid by the hour." He said, "I get paid by the piece." For every piece that he put on there, he got so much money. And he said, "If I really work fast," he said, "I'm making 6 hours what a lot of guys will make in 8 hours. And really, that's how God pays. God gives us a job, and God rewards us according to finishing that job. We go to a parable in the Word of God, and we find it. The Lord went out the very early in the day, or the master of the farm, basically, and he hires some laborers. He said, I'll give you a penny for the day. That was a day's wages. I know it doesn't sound like it to us, but that was the going rate. And so he made him that deal. He went out a little later because he needed some more workers, and he said, hey, if you come and work for me, I'll give you a penny for the rest of the day. I mean, it's getting close to quitting time, and he wants to get this job done. He goes and he gets some more workers. He says, I'll give you a penny for the day. And so when they're all done and he's going to pay up, he begins to give them a penny. And the guys who'd worked all day, they griped and they complained. They said, listen, we bore the heat of the day. We've worked all day long and you're giving them the same thing we got. We worked our 8-10 hours and these guys only worked an hour or two. And of course, the thing was, the Lord said this. He says, I made an agreement with you, and that's the agreement I'm keeping. In other words, the Lord is also saying, I will pay you according to the job I want you to do. Now, we look at it and we say, well, that's not fair. What's fair, by the way, is nothing. We don't deserve anything. That's what's really fair. But it teaches us a valuable lesson. What is it? God expects us to be faithful, whether it's a lot or a little. God wants us to finish the job. And God places us in a particular place to do it. I don't care if you're young or you're old tonight. God has a place for you. God has something for you to do. God has something for you to do in this church. Listen, you say, well, I don't have a position. We have about 5 people, maybe 6, that are what I would call a welcoming committee. Do you know we've never voted on a welcoming committee? We don't even have one, but they are. They make it a point in every service to go around and see everybody, shake their hand, talk to them, encourage them. Nobody's ever told them to do that. There are some folks, as they come around and they see things that need to be done, they just do it. They just look for things to be done. Now, there's a lot of folks, they don't look for anything to be done, but there's a lot of folks that do. And praise the Lord for that. There are folks tonight in this church who may not know it, are tremendous encouragers to this preacher. If you stood where I stood, you would understand how important encouragement is. Because you're dealing so often with problems with people and of people and so forth, and how wonderful it is to be encouraged by folks. Many of my days, all they are is spent in taking care of this problem, that problem, next problem. You know, it's like a troubleshooter. But God called me to that. And those folks who do that, they are tremendous service. They don't even know they're doing it. And those kinds of things. And folks, listen, God has places for you. This young lady right here in the green, I forgot your name. I can't remember any of your names, huh?
Bianca.
You're Bianca. Bianca looked at me tonight and she says, how are you? You know what that meant? Really, I'm serious. And I don't mean to embarrass you in front of your peers, but it's like she really cares. Because I don't think it was just a greeting. If it was, don't anybody tell me. Okay? Those things are, those things, they're blessings. This young lady, that I can never remember names. I'm sorry. But you've been here all year. And you bring friends. Sometimes I've got to get on her case because she gets a little wacky. But she does it. I wonder this year how many kids have heard the gospel because you were willing to bring them. You're one of them. See what I'm saying? We have no idea how God wants to use us. Have no idea. We heard the story just a week ago. Doc and Dee had a wonderful phone call. Was it a phone call? Yeah. Was it been 5 years? We had a little girl from Thailand that came, and they had said she can stay at our home until they find a place for her. Well, it ended up being about 3 months, I think, she was at your home, and she just fell in love with her. I can't tell you her real name. I can't pronounce it. She just told us, call her Sine, S-I-N-E. And her English wasn't real good, though we could speak. It improved while she was here. She went to school out at Trainer and was in the school system there for a year. Brilliant young lady. She's in Australia now studying. When she moved down there, she contacted them and she wanted to know where there's a church. Brother Case, who was here a few weeks ago, I called him and he recommended four or five places to go. Actually, I think when she got there, she found one on her own. I don't think it was one that we mentioned. And a week ago, she called him up and said, I've made a decision to follow Christ. You know, there's a great difference in age, but God used Doc and Dee and many of you folks because she saw the reality of Christianity in the lives of people here. By the way, the first time she walked in our church was during a VBS of all times to walk in here. And the first thing she ever experienced is some of our adults met back here and we prayed. And through the process of all, we don't know the impact we're going to have. We don't know. This lady right in the middle back here, Julia, was our teacher in our school for, I don't remember, 3-4 years. In the process of that time, she could not even hardly walk. If I remember right, you had a kneecap removed and you had tremendous problem with the knee. She had... Somebody gave us a recliner. She sat in a recliner and she called students to her. I said, boy, wouldn't that be a cushy job? She was. And yet she did the job. See? What are we saying? God uses people in many, many different ways. It's just simply amazing. I teased those two sisters back there, Mary and Virginia, horrendously. But I've seen God use them in very similar ways and many different ways. The daughters of Edna have arrived. But God used them. God has a place. The one that calls you almost every week. That lady with the hair that never changes. Roseanne. Huh? Gets thinner and harder. More hairspray. She has a hard time getting around. Doesn't even ride the bus anymore. Can't even hardly get on it. But has a heart for you. I mean, around the room we go. And that's the kind of thing God uses. God uses. God wants to use everybody. First thing you got to let Him do, though, is save your soul. First thing you got to recognize is, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And when you accept Him, then listen for the truth because God wants to use you. And one of the first things the devil is going to whisper in your ear is, you're not worthy. just tell him, yeah, I know it,
but God still wants to use me.
Because He does. He does. And God will. Lord, tonight, bless and work in hearts. Lord, I thank You this evening for each and every one that is here. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to understand just how important we are to You. So much so that You came and bled and died on the cross that we might be saved. Lord, if there's one in this room tonight that have never accepted that, I pray it'd be an evening for it. Lord, help each of us to recognize that You want to use us. Help us understand tonight, Lord, that every job is big. There's nothing little when You've ordained us to it. Work and bless in every heart and life. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.